Hey all, I'm back again, and we're talking about some more horror books. Now, the one we're talking about today, I talked about this on my TBR video for 2021. This one is called Hex by Thomas Old Hoivelt. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly. So let's get a little background on this book. Now, this book, the author is Dutch, and the book actually came out in the Netherlands in the Dutch language in 2013 and was apparently a real big hit there. So I guess he had his agents and they sold the English language rights. So at which point he decided he would get to essentially rewrite it. It was actually translated by a woman named Nancy Forrest Flyer. But the author, you know, even though he is Dutch and Dutch is his native language, he also speaks several other languages fluently, including English. So he was actually able to work with the translator. And he was basically saying that this kind of gave me, he calls it in the end notes, he calls it Hex 2.0. He's like, I could basically, you know, change the setting of the book and I could change the ending if I wanted to. And I could change some particular things to go along with more of like an American cultural thing rather than a Dutch cultural thing while still keeping all the things that I liked from the story. So that's apparently what he did. Now, obviously, I don't speak Dutch, so I don't know how the Dutch version of the book differs from the English one. He said the ending is actually quite radically different, which I don't think I'm going to spoil because I don't really want to like spoil the end of this because the end of it does get pretty crazy, which I'll kind of get into in a little bit. Okay, so the interesting thing about this book, one, this sounded like from the description, this pretty much sounded like right up my alley because I love old school witch shit and I just feel like there's not enough of that. You know what I mean? I just feel like there's too many movies and too many books and stuff like that. I have like zombies and vampires and even werewolves, like to a lesser extent, and ghosts, which, you know, all of that is cool. And I've enjoyed a lot of those, but I just feel like old school witch kind of stuff, like folklore witch kind of stuff, is a little thin on the ground. And that's kind of a bummer. So when I saw this one recommended, I was just kind of like, oh man, you know, that sounds really, really awesome. Like, I love that kind of like folklore, like old school New England witch stuff. So I really, really got this book. Now, I will say I liked this book. I didn't love it. And I'm having a hard time articulating maybe why that is. I don't know. I feel like I didn't connect with the characters all that much. And it tonally, it was a little strange. That said, overall, I found it really entertaining and I found like some of the imagery in it really creepy. And I think the best thing about it is the concept of the story. Whether it was really completely or successfully realized, I'm not really sure. I mean, maybe not for me. It's weird because I did read some reviews of this on Goodreads, and this seems to be one where people really, really, really loved it or really, really hated it and, you know, DNF'd it. You know, some people were like 19%, 25%. And I read some of the negative reviews of it, and I could kind of see where they were coming from with it. I'm not sure I agree with it entirely, but, you know, everyone's mileage will vary, obviously. So here's the concept of this book, which, as I said, is a fantastic concept. Now, the original Dutch version of the book was actually set in the Netherlands. It was set in a small Dutch village. This version, the English language version, has been transferred to a small town in upstate New York in the Hudson River Valley. So with all of that kind of stuff that implies, you know, very old school, like New England folklore, witchcraft lore, that kind of stuff. So he moved it to there, to this very, very small town. It's only like 3,000-4,000 people, something like that. So basically this town, which is called Black Spring, several hundred years ago, like 300 something years ago, there was a woman who lived there named Catherine, and she was accused of being a witch. Now, from everything that I could determine, she actually was a witch. So, I guess the accusation was spot on. So she actually was a witch. You know, she didn't really seem to be harming the town at first, but of course all the townsfolk were freaking out and they were all superstitious and she got blamed for a lot of stuff that maybe was not her fault. So they essentially made her a pariah. What her son dies, like her little boy dies, and she allegedly brought the kid back to life using witchcraft. It's not really ever determined whether this actually happened or not, but the townsfolk believe that it did. At which point, As I said, they kind of dragged her before the entire town, accused her of witchcraft, you know, necromancy or whatever. And there's like basically either kill the son that you brought back from the dead, or we're going to kill your other kid who is a daughter, and then probably kill you as well. So essentially making her choose between her two children. Now, since this terrible incident 300 years in the past, the town of Black Spring has been cursed. The witch is kind of still around, which I'll get to in a bit. If you were born in Black Spring, you cannot leave. If you leave for any length of time, like you can leave for short periods of time, but the longer you're gone, the more the curse of Black Spring starts getting into your head, and it will eventually make you kill yourself. And if you move to Black Spring, you also cannot leave. So when you come there, like you can visit there, and they have tourists come. They have a whole Salem, Massachusetts thing going on where they let outsiders in, you know, and they have these festivals that are based around Catherine the Witch, you know, and it's mitigated and it's actually kind of funny. So like I said, I'll get into that in a little bit too. But there's this whole like miasma about the town that if you live there, you're stuck there, essentially. So at the start of the book, you're having a new couple, the De La Rosas, and they are moving from New York City. They're very, you know, high-powered city people, and they're, you know, looking to get out of the rat race, as a lot of people do. It's like, oh, let's find a nice little burg up in upstate New York somewhere and find this beautiful little house. And something that when new people move there, I guess like what the townsfolk try, they try their damnedest to get people not to move there, because obviously, you know, when you do move there, the town council has to tell you, guess what? You can never leave. You know, and we have all of these rules and laws about how we deal with the witch and how we deal with the witch curse. So the De La Rosas, they don't really figure, they didn't figure into the story as much as I thought they would, because they were kind of not major characters, but it was kind of a big thing at the beginning. I guess they were just sort of introduced so you could, you know, see the way the town operated from the point of view of somebody that was just coming there, because then the council had somebody to explain it to, like explain all the rules. So basically, the witch, Catherine, is still around. She's kind of like, I mean, obviously she's dead, but she's kind of like a ghost in the sense that she can sort of like pop around wherever she wants to. Like she can turn up in your living room suddenly. You know, if she hangs out somewhere long enough and starts to get annoyed, she disappears. So she can do that, but she's also corporeal, as in you can touch her, she can run into things, stuff like that. So she's like a person and a ghost at the same time, which I thought was kind of like a really cool concept. Now, the thing about this town, and the first part of the book is almost like a black comedy. And this is what I mean when I say the tone of this is kind of strange, because at the beginning, it almost like the idea of this witch just being able to like pop up in your fucking house all the time. Creepy. And actually the author, Thomas Hoyvelt, he said that he got the idea after he saw, or he read Roald Dahl's The Witches and saw the movie that came out in 1990. And he's like, just the thought of a witch being able to like pop up wherever freaked him the fuck out. And, you know, like traumatized him for 6 months or something after he saw the movie, because he was a kid. So he really, really liked that idea and wanted to like traumatize other people with it. So like I said, if you think about it, the fact that there's a witch. Oh, and I forgot to mention too, that at some point, I think after she was already dead, but she was still kind of popping up all over the town, somebody managed to hold her down and sew her mouth shut and sew her eyes shut. So she is like really freaky looking. Now, at some point, somebody did cut one stitch off of her mouth. I think it was in 1967, and it was like a huge disaster. Like all these people dropped dead and everything, because one of the things that she has, one, she has an evil eye, and two, she can whisper to you and get you to kill yourself, like I said. So, you know, in really, really horrific ways. So basically, over the centuries, after all of this experimentation has failed, they have tried to kill her, they try to get rid of her, and it doesn't work. So at this point, the book is set in 2012, the town has come to sort of an uneasy peace with the witch. They have all these rules surrounding what you can and cannot do. It's funny because they have this whole like technological, they have like this bunker like in the town, and all of the town, all the outside areas of the town are under surveillance. And so they can keep track of where she's at. And they also have an app that you can put on your phone. And when the witch turns up in your house, you're supposed to mark that that's where she is. And then when she leaves, you have to mark again. So they always have, so they always know where she's at so they can keep track of her, because no one is entirely sure why she's still hanging out. No one is entirely sure what she wants, if she's trying to take revenge on the town. And as I said, because her eyes and mouth are sewn shut, her, you know, the damage that she can potentially do, or at least as the townspeople perceive it, has been mitigated, but no one is entirely sure what's going to happen with her. So they're just kind of like, you know, they're just kind of like hanging out, waiting to see what's going to happen and just trying not to rile her up. Now, so at the beginning, it's very funny because you see how very, like blah everybody has become with this witch, because they're just so used to this witch, because most of the people from the town were born there. The main family that we focus on, there's a couple other characters too that it keeps bouncing back and forth, but the main characters that we focus on are the Grant family, who were not born there, but they actually transplanted there like a decade or two earlier. You know, Steve, the dad, is a doctor, and his wife Jocelyn had to leave her job to come there. They didn't know, obviously, when they were moving to the town that they would never be able to leave again. So there's some resentment there. They have two teenage sons, one of whom is named Matt, who I believe is 13, and the other one, Tyler, who I think is 16 or 17 years old. So a lot of the stories told from their family, and their family kind of plays a huge part in the narrative. And they, you know, as I said, they've lived here for long enough, but Steve is not from there. And so he doesn't have the same very, very small town, very kind of insular mindset as much as some of the other townsfolk do that, you know, have been there for generations. So the beginning of the book is actually kind of funny because, as I mentioned, you can see how very casual everyone is about this witch. It's like basically she turns up in the house, stands in the corner and freaks everyone out. And it's like everybody will just, no one's really allowed to touch her. It's against the law. Because they don't know what's going to rile her up and make her mad and make her do crazy shit, like, you know, make the creeks bleed or kill your animals or something like that. So she's standing there and it's kind of freaky. So some people just like throw a towel over her face so she's not, so you're not like seeing her. And then she'll just kind of stand there for several hours and then she'll like pop up in someone else's house, or she'll just be like walking down the street. Sometimes, like, if outsiders are going to be in the town, you know, they have the whole, ooh, it's like the town of Catherine the Witch or whatever, but no one knows that there's an actual witch because they have kind of a lockdown on information. They almost have a little bit of like a North Korea, like, you're not allowed to have outside cell phones, I don't think. Like, they give you a cell phone that has the app already on it. You're not really allowed to access the internet, or the internet is very limited because they don't want information about it getting out, because they don't know how harmful it's going to be. The only other people that know about the witch and know about the curse are this one little town that's a little bit farther. It's just called The Point. It's like a military installation kind of thing. And they kind of, that's the last resort, like who you call, like if something really, like some bad shit starts to go down. So that's kind of the situation with this town. This, you know, outsiders come into the town. They'll either try to hide the witch by, you know, putting a box over her or putting like a billboard in front of where she's decided to stand that day. Or a couple times they just were like, yeah, it's a woman in a costume, you know what I mean? And had kids take pictures with her and shit like that. So it's, that part is almost like comical, like a black comedy kind of, just because, you know, the author said in the back that he's like, well, the Dutch are just very down to earth, particularly like small town Dutch people. And he's like, and I just have the feeling that if a witch was popping up in your house all the time, that's pretty much how they would react. They would just like, oh, there she is again, and throw a towel over and just go read the paper. So that's kind of what the beginning of it was like. So like I said, the beginning of it is almost like a black comedy. And then as it goes on, it starts getting a little weirder, whereas there's kind of a group of teenagers in town, including Tyler, who is, you know, the teenage boy of the main family, the Grant family, who a lot of the action is seen through their eyes. They pretty much come to the conclusion, they're like, you know, they are also stuck here, even though they didn't have a choice about moving here because they were little children. So they're basically like, well, it's not fair. We can't access the internet like other people can access it. We can't, you know, they can leave the town, but you know, they can't be gone for that long. Tyler has a girlfriend who lives in another town. He can't tell her what's going on in Black Spring, and this is really getting to him. And so a bunch of the teenagers kind of try to get together to do some kind of experimentation to see if there's some way that they can end the curse so they can all be free to leave. Because obviously, as a teenager would, you don't want to be stuck in this little bitty town for your whole entire life and never be able to go somewhere else or travel anywhere for any length of time. Understandably, they're all upset about it. However, less understandably, one of the kids that he kind of hangs out with the first, whose name is Jaden, and he's the son of the butcher, Griselda. And there's like a whole like subplot there, but you know, I don't need to go too much into that. Jaden is actually kind of a psychopath, and his experimentation with Catherine the witch goes a little bit too far in the sense that he basically starts abusing her. Now, as I said, in the law, this is very, very illegal. You are really not allowed to touch the witch. You are not allowed to make offerings to the witch, or you're really not supposed to interact with the witch in any way possible. You are just supposed to not rile her up. You're just supposed to, if she appears in front of you, you just walk around her. You don't talk to her. You don't do anything like that. And he basically starts provoking her on purpose. And from there, shit really, really, really goes very, very sideways in this town. Now, as I said, I don't really want to ruin the end of this. And if anybody out there is, you know, speaks Dutch and has read the Dutch version, I'd be very curious to know what the end of the Dutch version is, because this version is pretty horrific. All I will say is that there is some foreshadowing at the beginning where Tyler, who's, I guess, is, you know, has a YouTube channel or whatever, and he's making some videos, and he basically starts asking his parents, or his dad in particular, because there's a whole family dynamic thing, which also plays a lot into how it ends, that Steve, the dad, Tyler is kind of like his favorite kid. You know what I mean? Well, it's not like he doesn't love his other kid or his wife, but, you know, Tyler is kind of like the golden boy. And so that plays a lot into what happens later on. But there's kind of a thing where Tyler is making jokes about, you know, who would you save, your own kid or a whole village in the Sudan or whatever, because he's kind of trying to point out, you know, the hypocrisy of saying, you know, yes, we should save more people, like a huge village rather than one person. But if that person is somebody that you love, obviously most people would choose to save the loved person rather than thousands of strangers. So that's kind of an overarching theme of the book too. Another overarching theme of the book is how horrible some of the people in these small, like these kind of small town attitudes can be, like how superstition and fear of the other always ends in tragedy, which it does in this book in spades. So that's kind of the point that he's making. Like I said, I don't think that's too much of a spoiler. You might be able to see where the end is going. I sort of saw where it was going, but not really. It's a little bit of Pet Sematary near the end. The end of it is very, very Stephen King-y. But like I said, you know, it's kind of strange because the beginning is almost kind of like funny. Like almost, I don't want to say farcical, a little bit. Some of the characters are a little bit caricature-like. One criticism that I saw a lot of, this didn't bother me too much, but I see where people are coming from. One criticism was that the book was like oddly misogynistic, which I didn't get that too strongly, but I see what they're saying. There's really not a lot of female characters in it. And the one main female character, who is one of the four kind of viewpoints that we see throughout, is kind of a real unappealing character. She's grotesque almost. She's, you know, the woman that owns the butcher shop. You know, and it's often pointed out like how fat and how gross she is and how crazy she is and all this other kind of stuff. And it seems like the other female characters don't really fare much better. Like I said, this didn't bother me that much, but I can see why it would bother some readers. Also, a lot of reviewers pointed this out as well, and I see it. Author real obsessed with boobs, nipples in particular. A lot of boob trauma in this book, weirdly. It was just a very, very strange, I don't know, it was very strange. And there was one scene in particular with the butcher lady, Griselda, who is essentially like sexually assaulted by this, you know, boob trauma, like I said, by this old man, like a councilman. And it really didn't, I don't know why it was in there or like why that was, I don't know. It was just very strange. So as I said, if I'm just very ambivalent, I enjoyed this book. I was kind of like, I couldn't really tell where it was going. So I was interested enough to keep it going, but it took me longer to read than a book of this length would normally take me to read. I think the problem, I love the premise. I loved the end, like after everything went batshit crazy. I loved that. Like I loved all the imagery there, more boob imagery there. You'll see. But I didn't feel that much of a connection with any of the characters. Like I said, a lot of them, the Grant family in the, you know, kind of at the center of the story are pretty likable, but they're sort of bland, I guess. I didn't really get a handle on them. And a lot of the other characters in the town are kind of caricature-like. So you couldn't really, I don't know. I just couldn't make a connection with them, or I couldn't feel all that bad about them, you know, if shitty things happened to them, because I wasn't really engaged. So I think it was more, I don't know. So I think like the character work is maybe not as strong as it could be, but you know, the imagery in this was cool. The premise is cool. I'm not sure I loved, I don't know. This is hard because I loved initially the idea of this old school witch curse interacting with modern day technology. It's like, we always have to keep track of her. So we have like a witch tracking app, which is called Hex, which is why the book is called that, you know, and everybody, like, it's almost kind of like a technological or an information lockdown to try to keep shit about the witch from getting out to the wider world. A lot of people complain too, because I think that the description of this book, I think the description on the back or the description that's on Amazon basically says, well, you know, these teenagers, they, you know, take footage of the witch and it goes viral. And, you know, what's going to happen, like when the wider world finds out about the witch. I will spoil the fact that that does not happen. The teenagers do indeed take a lot of footage of the witch and of things happening, that of their experiments and of all the horrible things that Jaden starts doing to the witch and abusing her. That is true. And it is true that Tyler, the kind of main good teenager, has sort of a secret website where he sort of writes about the witch, but it's not really available to the wider world. He just kind of, you know, keeps it in the town, but he kind of keeps it on the down low so he can keep track of it. And he does actually want to release everything to the wider world, because he makes the point that, well, this is the one thing that no one in this town has ever done to try to lift the curse. No one has tried to call the outside world for help. Everyone is always just kind of like gone inward and just kept everything within this tiny little town. And that hasn't really worked out so well. The curse is still here. We still don't know what the witch wants, why she keeps hanging around, why she's popping up in certain people's houses, you know, and just, we don't know, you know, why she's doing it. So, you know, you can't blame him for thinking that, but I am just going to say that there really isn't. So if you're expecting, oh, you know, this little town and this witch and it goes viral and everybody finds out about it, that does not happen in the book. So it's, you know, it's not a terrible spoiler alert. I'm just saying that it kind of says that in the description, and that's not really what happens. So it's, some of it's true, but it goes into like a completely different direction. So as I said, you know, I don't usually do like star ratings too much. Every now and then I'll mention it. I'm going to go, I don't know, I'm going to go 3.5 on this one. Like I said, love the concept, love the witch turning up, and I love, sort of, I kind of love hate the technology and old curse versus things. Like, sometimes I liked it, and sometimes I was like, ah, I just wish this had been all old curse. Because I have a thing where, I guess because I'm an old person myself, but where I don't love stories that are too based in modern technology, just because I think that, you know, if I read this 10, 20 years from now, it would seem really dated. So I kind of like stuff that's more generalized or more universal or more based in something old. To me, it just seems like it dates less. So I don't know. So it did bother me sometimes, but in general, I really, really liked the concept. I really liked the concept of the witch curse. I liked the concept of this town, you know, just being all these kind of irredeemable assholes who only needed one thing to go wrong for them all to just go full fucking 17th century stone the witch kind of thing, which, like I said, that was one of the main themes of the book, that the veneer of civilization is very, very thin, and all it takes is a couple things to go wrong, and a couple people to get scared, and, you know, everything just comes crumbling down. So that's one of the things that he was trying to say in this, which probably true. As I said, you know, how you feel about it, there is, and, you know, I'll do a trigger warning, there's some weird-ass imagery in this, lots of boob trauma, like lots of cutting of nipples, pinching of nipples, things like that, some cruelty to animals. There is one really weird, like, animal sex scene. Although it's really short. It's not, it doesn't really happen. It's like in somebody's, it's like a vision. I don't know. This was a weird one, in case you couldn't tell. And the end of it, kind of Stephen King-y, kind of gave me a little bit of a Pet Sematary vibe. I probably liked the beginning of it, like kind of the funny bits. And then I liked the end, like once everything went, you know, just shit bonkers, like banana pants. I liked that. Middle, a little bit all over the place, but overall a pretty enjoyable read. It's, you know, it wasn't a slog or anything like that. It did take me a little bit longer to read than usual, but that doesn't say too much about the quality of it. I was still like pretty interested to see what would happen, even though the characters weren't compelling enough to keep me interested, but the story was, because I really wanted to see how the shit would turn out, because I didn't really know which direction it was going. So anyway, you know, if that sounds interesting to you, then by all means, check it out. As I said, it's by Thomas Old Hoivelt, and it's called Hex. Got a Stephen King quote right on the cover there, just like the last one I did, I think. The True Pad one as well. But yeah, so check it out. And I'll see you on the next one. Bye.